This is the Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski on 104.5 The Zone.
Crew is all here today. Glad you're with us on 104.5 The Zone, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Edley'sBBQ.com, the website for the delicious menu options. Curbside pickup available, and yes, they deliver through Postmates. Alongside Chad Withrow and Paul Kuharski, I'm Jonathan Hutton. Pleased to be joined as we kick off the final hour of today's show with Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill, who joins us from Titans training camp. Ryan, great to have you back on, man. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'd like to start by discussing your offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith, who has zero ego, and he's a cerebral guy like you are. When did you hit it off with him? Do you have a specific moment where you met him? Was it watching film? Was it over a dinner? When did you know that you and Arthur Smith clicked?
You know, I don't really know if there was one specific moment, but you know, coming in last spring, stepping into a different role, and just trying to pick up a new offense and learn people and the whole thing. You know, I think just over spending the spring, probably. You know, by mid-spring, I already knew that, you know, I liked Arthur a lot and respected him, the way he worked, the way he thought about the game, the way, like you said, he has no ego. He's willing to listen and, you know, come up with the best plan possible, no matter really, you know, whose idea it was. He doesn't try to make an idea his. You know, whatever situation arises, we try to work together, you know, not only myself and Arthur, but as a whole offensive unit. If a good idea comes from the old line room, then he's willing to listen. You know, I think that's one thing that has really helped us, you know, since I've been here is his willingness to not only be open-minded, but just be willing to work with a good idea no matter where it comes from.
The quarterback movement this offseason was crazy to watch. The offensive coordinator movement, that happened as well. You're on a roster that returns practically everyone on offense. And the play caller, that has to be a huge, huge benefit, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're excited about that. You know, just being able to get everyone back. You know, it really felt great being back on the field with everyone a couple days ago. Really, our first walkthrough, having you know all the vets back and everyone together. So, you know, really excited to have everyone back, and you can just feel the energy, the excitement. You know, everyone's been through this. We're all familiar with the calls, with the responsibilities. And we're trying to take this thing to a level of detail that we never got to last year. So just the focus from everybody and the crispness on day one was really exciting. And, you know, just have to continue to take advantage of every day.
So, Ryan, you've played for a number of offensive coordinators and a number of different systems throughout your career. I'm curious, what's it like to have that level of confidence in a play caller during games? It's one thing to take the play call and execute it. It's another thing to get that play call and have confidence and what's being called during the game. What is that confidence like with Arthur Smith?
Well, it's huge. You know, as a quarterback, you know, there's always going to be calls that come in that, you know, you don't love, you know, and that's just part of the game. You know, the way things go, you know, as a quarterback, you have a feel for the game and what you like. And play caller has the same thing. So, you know, when a play call comes in, if you love it, you feel really good. You know, you might not get the defense that you're expecting, but you know, if you feel really good about a play, then you know, 9 times out of 10, something good is going to happen. And you know, going through with Art, you know, there was very rarely that a play call came in that I wasn't feeling really good about. So, you know, when you have that rapport and you can be on the same page like that, it really helps the whole offense.
Titans quarterback Ryan Tannehill with us on the Midday 180.
Dan Pape at The Athletic did a great story about you and kind of your voyage to this point, that voyage including some time on your boat going deep. I wanted to dig a little further into the idea of you in Miami, which waited and waited for the next Dan Marino. You never want to be the guy that replaces the guy. There are a lot of guys between you and Dan Marino. But how did the expectation Miami fans had of you being the next Dan Marino kind of forge who you've become as an NFL quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't, you know, I knew that's what everyone was looking for, but I didn't put a whole lot of thought to it. You know, that's not really my personality, the way I approach things. You know, my approach is do the best I can personally do every single day. You know, that's getting myself ready to play, being the best leader I can, bringing teammates along, helping guys out, building relationships along the way. And then if you do that, you know, you'll be able to live with the results. So, yeah, you know, obviously, you know, I wish things would have worked out a little better in Miami, but at the end of the day, you know, I didn't really put a whole lot of time into trying to be somebody, and I just tried to be the best version of myself that I could possibly be.
I know you didn't put a lot of time either into the way people viewed you coming out of Miami, but you did express surprise at maybe where you landed in the situation that you landed in, and that somebody didn't come get you maybe to be a starter right out of the gate. You think there was a little bit of a distorted image because of the injuries, because of the circumstances down there of what you were coming out of Miami?
Yeah, who knows? You know, I think everything happens for a reason, and you know, I'm really thankful that the things worked out the way they did, and I'm able to be here being part of the Tennessee Titans. So, yeah, who knows what people's thought process was, but you know, I'm happy the way things worked out.
Ryan, have you had to change your cell phone number since those days in Miami? Since Jeff Ireland leaked your phone number accidentally on Hard Knocks?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, going back to that, I was walking in the building one day, and for whatever reason at that time, I didn't get very good service at the hotel we were staying at, or you know, within the building. And I'm walking into the building, you know, whatever time it was, 6 o'clock. And my phone's like literally blowing up. Boom, 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 boom. Like text call. I can't even like close them down and see my home screen. They're popping up so fast. And, like, what the heck's going on? So then I walk into the building and of course I lose service. And, then later that day, walk out of the building and same thing. I'm like, all right, something's up. And that's when someone told me that, my number had leaked on Hard Knocks on the screen. So, definitely had to change that thing ASAP.
Ryan, do you get angry when people say that last year's performance was a fluke and that you can't repeat that performance this season?
No, I don't get angry. I mean, everyone's entitled to their own opinion. You know, I'm just concerned on building off of what we accomplished last year. Obviously, it's a totally new year, and last year doesn't matter. So it's a matter of coming out, taking the next step as an offense, and taking our level of performance and consistency to another level and taking advantage of every day.
We all know that failure can be a big motivator, and that when you failed somewhere, you lose a game, that's a big motivator in off season. How much can success be a motivator for you in what you were able to do last year from your performance and trying to maintain that this season?
Yeah, like you said, both sides of the coin can motivate, just depending on the person and circumstances. But yeah, really excited, like I said, about what we were able to accomplish last year, but it's over now. So I think as a team, we got a little taste of success, and we're hungry for more. So, you know, a lot of work to do, but a big opportunity for us to do good things this year.
Ryan Tannehill with us on 104.5 The Zone.
You were a great play-action passer last year. And I know you don't pay attention to the noise. A lot of people use that as a way to diminish not just you, but what the Titans offense did last year. I'm wondering if that's puzzling to you. We just had a long conversation about this with Greg Cosell, the NFL Films analyst. He says, hey, it's a coach's job to scheme up easy ways for a quarterback to find open players and make easy decisions. And the Titans play action did just that. It's a huge success story. Is it puzzling to you why people would demean it?
No, I don't really care. You can debate it, call it what you want. You know, if we're putting points on the board and moving the football, then you know, that's why we're out on the field, is to score points and win football games. So, you know, at the end of the day, however we can get it done, what best fits our scheme, our players, you know, that's what we're gonna do.
Ryan, which pass last year do you consider your top completion of the season? Which pass, if you were watching film, if we were sitting down and another quarterback were on, which of your throws would you want to rewind and rewatch?
Oh man, I don't know.
You had several.
I'll let you guys pick that.
Pick that one to AJ Brown down inside the 1 yard line. I can't remember
Yeah, see,
the one, the lowest probability percentage of anything you threw last year.
Yeah, that one, and then the one that comes to mind for me is the touch pass to Jonnu Smith in Baltimore on the touchdown.
The
Jonnu got a lot of credit for the catch. It was a great catch. It was a great throw, too. I mean, it was a combo there. Or the Khalif Raymond bombs. Those are some examples, Ryan. You can go with any of those.
Yeah, pick one of those.
Yeah, probably the one to AJ, just because it was you know, just a total trust throw. Heaved it up to him and trusted him to go make a play, and he made an incredible catch down there on the 1 yard line.
We know you worked with Jonnu Smith this offseason. Fortunate to do that. We heard you tell the media recently that Darrington Evans was also someone that you were able to throw with some. Who else did you work with, and just what did you get out of the one-on-one work with both of those guys, if those were the only two?
Yeah, I was able to throw with a lot of the guys, you know, at different times throughout the offseason. Jonnu and Darrington down in Florida. And, you know, those are just special times. You know, we're not only working individually at what we can do better, but, you know, when you're able to work with teammates in the offseason, I think it builds that trust. It builds that familiarity, especially with somebody new like Darrington, that, you know, it's not new when we start practicing on whatever day it is, August 16th, 17th. You know, I've thrown to him, you know, starting back in whatever it was, May or something like that. So, you know, it only is going to help us, you know, be on the same page as we move forward throughout this year.
What's your initial impression of Darrington Evans, and how quickly can you tell in a workout setting like that where you're not wearing pads and you're not in practice that a teammate's got something, or a guy that you're working out with has a little something extra? And did you see some of that from Evans?
Yeah, you can pick it up, you know, pretty quickly. Obviously, it's football at the end of the day. So, you know, I've been around a lot of guys who look really good, you know, throwing routes on air and then, you know, line up with somebody across from them and play 11-on-11, and it's not quite the same thing. But, you know, excited from what I saw from Darrington so far. You know, he has some speed, obviously. I'm not sure what he ran at 40 in, but it's clear when you're throwing the football, he can run. I think what impressed me most about him, probably his mental aspect, the way, you know, I was able to call plays from the first time that we threw together, and our using our verbiage, using our language of the offense, and he was able to know exactly what he had to do most of the time. So, you know, really excited about the way he's grasping what we're trying to do offensively, and obviously he has some really good tools that we'd like to use this year.
It's going to be extremely difficult for the league to create a bubble like we're seeing in other leagues right now. Have you yourself created a miniature bubble? Like, what's your game plan to try to do everything the right way? And it still may play a factor, but try to do everything the right way where COVID-19 is less of a risk for the starting quarterback.
Yeah, you got to be smart. You know, obviously we're living in this different time here, COVID 2020. So you got to be smart on who you're around, where you go, making sure you're washing your hands, wearing a mask. Anytime you're outside the building, you know, I think during season it's easy to be insulated to some degree just because, you know, go to bed early, get up early, come to work, stay all day, and then go home, and there's not much time for anything else. So, you know, I think it's not going to only be me, but our whole team. We're going to have to, you know, make sacrifices and be smart, you know, in our time away from the facility throughout the year in order to be healthy and have our guys in critical games.
How deep do you generally take going deep?
Do what?
How deep do you generally take going deep for your fishing expeditions and the like?
Yeah, South Florida is pretty cool. You know, you can be in blue water, you know, a couple miles out of the port, or I fish out of Fort Lauderdale most of the time. So if you're bottom fishing, you want to catch grouper, snapper, things like that, then, you know, you're a mile from the coast or less. You know, you want to go catch mahi in the summer, you know, I like to run far out, so I'm going to go all the way in the Gulf Stream, which is, you know, generally 10-12 miles out of the port, maybe a little further, and look for the mahi. So just kind of depends on what you're fishing for. You know, if you're out that far, then you're in over 2,000 feet of water. If you're, you know, a mile out, then, you know, you're in 160, 180 foot of water. So really just depends what you're looking for, and you know, create a game plan and trying to execute it, just like football.
I was going to ask when you learned your love for fishing, but, I mean, you grow up in Big Spring, Texas. That's kind of in your blood, right?
Yeah, right. Out in the desert in West Texas, exactly. Yeah, it's not something I grew up with. You know, I always enjoyed fishing going back when I was a kid. But like you said, not much water out in West Texas, a lot of desert, a few ponds and small lakes. But, you know, got into bass fishing when I went to Texas A&M, just fishing tanks and ponds there around Bryan College Station. And then when I got to South Florida, you know, went out a few times and immediately just fell in love with the water, fell in love with fishing. You know, it's a hunt, it's exciting, it's relaxing. You never really know, you know, what you're going to get when you come tight on a pole. So something that probably enjoyed from day one down there, but you know, it took a couple years to get a boat and then really dove into it and, you know, try to pick things up on the fly.
Ryan Tannehill has been our guest. Ryan, thank you for the time. Stay healthy, and we'll chat soon, hopefully.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks very much.
Ryan Tannehill there. A lot to unpack with his visit and with what Vrabel had to say, Paul, with Vic Beasley. We'll do that, and we'll tell you who's starting in net for the Preds in their Game 3 against Arizona. Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue. This is 104.5 The Zone. We are live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill, 2408 Music Valley Drive, ahead of Preds and Coyotes, where UC Saros will get the start in back-to-back days, and rightfully so.
Yes. Smart move. Smart move with the gentleman in the Preds gear also with the bucket of beers already. It is 2-for-1 here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Good crowd already on hand.
That tab will be light, sir. That tab will be light.
By the way, it is 1:23 p.m. on a Wednesday. So this is a nice crowd forming here with people ready to watch the Preds. Not always easy to break away during the week. I said it yesterday, it's like an Olympic hockey feel to these games when you're having weekday games during the day, which is a lot of fun. So nice crowd in here. 2-for-1 drinks, that's big, throughout these games here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. They've got food specials. They've got the Blatt, the bacon, lettuce, avocado, and tomato sandwich. They've got the chili cheese dog, which I tried yesterday, excellent. The cheesy bites, plus their normal huge menu of food options they have here at Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Come say hello, watch the game with us. We'll be here throughout. So even if you're at work right now, taking off soon, come join us. There'll be a nice crowd here and looking forward to hopefully seeing the Preds get it done again today and go 2-for-2 this year at Scoreboard Bar and Grill.
We're outside. Emphasis on fans blowing, wind blowing.
On a party deck.
Outside.
That's right.
And a party deck that's enormous. So you can certainly separate if needed. You can be responsible out here, and it's a great time.
We have some headlines we're about to hit, including Mike Vrabel's comments on Vic Beasley. We're going to unpack what Ryan Tannehill had to say. But it is that time of the week, and we came prepared for our primary complaint.
Nashville traffic sucks. It's too hot outside.
Stay out of the left lane.
Bachelorette parties? Millennials? Chad hates Vandy. Paul's so negative. This is my primary complaint on the Midday 180.
And it's presented by the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin. Call 615-794-0800, 794-0800. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings. Again, that number, 615-794-0800 or tnstemcell.com. My primary complaint is for the lack of patience when someone blows a tire on the interstate. That happened to me last week, last Thursday. And I immediately hit the flashers. Going through the protocol, I'm in the far right lane, and in fact, I'm close to my destination. So I'm at the exit. I'm exiting, going up, and then my destination is to the right off the exit. I'm trying to make it. I don't want to go to the side of the road. So instead of the two cars behind me laying on their horn, next time, just go around. Two lanes for a reason. Go around me, not through me. That's my primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
The person honking the horn at you, Hutton, reminds me of Paul yelling at the guy who tripped and fell on him in New York, where we're sitting there looking at like, Paul, do you think the guy wanted to fall?
Get up,
in this awkward
get
position?
Up. I'm working.
This is like the guy, like Hutton, you should say, do you want me? Do you think I wanted to have a blowout of my tire on the interstate?
I'm going 30.
This is the situation I'm in right now. Deal with it.
It's
no one wants to be
it's
here.
It's not like I was going 5. I was going 30.
Yeah, that's bad. My primary complaint, the party that happened over the weekend in East Nashville at the Fashion House. I'm not going to complain about the party like everyone else has. I'll let everyone else take care of complaining about the party. I want to complain about social media influencers. If you are a social media influencer, you should also have to be an influencer. What I mean by that is that you've done something or you offer something. You should not be labeled a social media influencer by doing nothing but posting a ton of pictures. We are completely warped in what we look to. The Rock is a social media influencer. The Rock does a lot of different things. He's talented. If The Rock says something on social media, people will follow. This guy that was videoed doing whatever he was doing,
oh, he's influencing
with all of the followers that he has, that is not a social media influencer. And we should not be having social media influencers invited to Nashville for a big party or for anything else. My primary complaint.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
David Reed.
So I'm sailing down 65 on Saturday night, and off in the distance, I think I see a mirage. On the horizon, there's just a bunch of bright rainbow-colored lights flashing over on the side of the road, and I think I've suddenly been transported to Las Vegas. But lo and behold, it's only a mall parking lot carnival. Now, I would say in ordinary times, you can find a much cleaner place on a Saturday night than a mall parking lot carnival. But in the middle of a global pandemic, I don't think visiting a traveling band of carnies is the safest place that you could find yourself on a Saturday night. Now, that being said, the corn dogs were excellent, and the fried Oreo was to die for. It wasn't to die for. It was list worth risking the corona there for. That's my.
How are the lines?
Short, very short.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
Paul has removed the microphone from the stand, which Kirby brings with him for remotes. He has now faced the crowd for primary complaint.
Well, my primary complaint takes me not to a place. It does take me to a place of anger. I'm always angry. But
let's not act rash. You're definitely angry.
Let's not act rash and say I'm not angry. That would be silly. But it really takes me to a place of sadness. When Teresa and I moved 5 years ago, we found a neighborhood in Brentwood we really liked. It's not a cookie-cutter neighborhood. It's not a grid. It's got some winding roads. Even if it's, you know, kind of fake and not natural, it's a nice, curvy neighborhood. And our street and two other streets make up the section of land that we live on that includes 9 or 10 houses. There's not a lot of trees left in this neighborhood, but they made an effort to leave some trees up. And one of the reasons that we picked our house is because one of the homeowners in the middle of these 10 that kind of form a triangular section.
You had that big tree back there.
Chose to keep up 7 trees until yesterday when my wife texted me a picture of the last surviving tree being cut down. And so now this triangle where all the backyards benefited from this one person keeping up 7 trees that gave us shade and that gave us backyards that weren't just a blank, now has given us just a blank. Fortunately, we're smart enough recently to buy a retractable shade that's an unbelievable technological innovation that has a setting where it's all the way up, all the way down, or as Simon says, a party setting, where you could set it somewhere in the middle, just like a visor, and it's tremendous. I'm very disappointed in this guy, even if a couple trees, as I'm told, were in ill health. Take them down gradually and don't destroy what you were responsible for 9 or 10 of us. And so I'm sad. I'm not angry. My primary complaint, taking down those damn trees.
And they complain and complain and complain and complain and complain.
That's primary complaint presented by the Regenerative Cell Institute of Middle Tennessee at the Dr. Gill Center in Franklin. 615-794-0800. $39 gets you an exam, x-rays, and a review of your findings, tnstemcell.com. That complaint speaks to Claire's heart, for sure.
I live in a different house today than I lived in yesterday.
You know, this, you know, what I automatically thought was this is Kirby Allen Kirby looking for cheap lumber. He found it.
Yeah, cost of lumber down.
The lumber shortage has been corrected by these trees coming down. No. Claire, a self-professed tree hugger, also.
Yes. Yeah.
Definitely upset with this news.
I mean, these aren't the greatest trees in the world by any means, but there was a batch of trees that
provided shade for a lot. I saw
the pictures that
were posted. And it's a significant...
It's stark.
A significant downgrade with the trees that you have. Significant.
Well,
sad. I'm sad.
It's a bummer.
Paul, your reaction to what Vrabel said about Vic Beasley today. He was direct. He has not heard from him, and you can tell he's not thrilled about that.
No. You would think tomorrow would be do something day, but listen, Vic Beasley, as far as we can tell, has communicated once. We think he's doing a lot of communicating on opt-out day. Do we think he knows when opt-out day is? We think his agents are able to contact? I mean, anything is possible!
Devin Garnett's his new spokesman.
Yeah. Look, I mean, it's crazy. I think tomorrow at 3 o'clock, maybe we know something, maybe we don't. And I don't know. It's a weird situation, unlike anything we've seen in this market, unlike most markets have seen. But Vrabel got it out of the way early and pretty efficiently. Well, there wasn't a lot of room for a lot of follow-ups there. He said, so the follow-up, Teresa Walker asked, have you talked to him since Robinson talked to him on Friday? And he said, I haven't, which made it sound like I could almost take, I would have liked to ask one more follow-up. Have you talked to him at all? Because it sounded like he hasn't talked to him at all.
Well, I took it as, and you may be right, I took it as they didn't have contact with him at first. They then spoke to him. Someone did. John Robinson, someone did. Robinson.
And that, he may have talked to his agent.
Robinson made contact with him. And that they would be here in the near future. That was, that he would be here in the near future.
Today's 5 days.
Yeah, today's probably the end of the near future. And it's, you know, we're looking at the deadline tomorrow at 3 p.m. And Vrabel's tired of waiting. You know, he's already upset that they couldn't figure out why he wasn't there to begin with. And now the near future umbrella, well, that's closed. So now what? And he knew he was going to get the questions. That's why he came in upset about it today.
Think of how many guys in the building aren't making $400,000 this year. That's what the fine totals upon him not reporting today, and I think that time has passed today.
Well, he's clearly frustrated, and rightfully so. And Mike Vrabel just isn't the type of guy to have a ton of patience for stuff like this. He's a very player-friendly coach because he was a player for so long, but he doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to just be totally okay with whatever Vic Beasley decides when he decides to come back and not be some repercussions for that.
Well, look where he comes from. They're not standing for this in Pittsburgh. They're not standing for this in New England. And that's where the guy formed his football NFL stance, his psyche. That's not stood for in Pittsburgh or New England. And it's not stood for with Mike Vrabel's and John Robinson's Tennessee Titans. Again, though, and I retweeted
where
my piece.
Where is this stood for, though?
I retweeted,
one of the 32 NFL teams would stand for this.
Well, Oakland deals with stuff like this historically. I mean, but again, I'll repeat because we know you're not necessarily listening to the show in its entirety, though you should be. I wrote, and I've retweeted it now, adding the tweet about what Vrabel said. The Titans can't do anything. It's Vic Beasley's move. The Titans can't cut him right now. It's $9.5 million guaranteed. Even if they could recoup some of that, and I think they eventually could because he hasn't shown up, he's got to do something.
And you wouldn't cut him today if the opt-out is tomorrow at 3.
Right. Now, maybe tomorrow if the opt-out comes and he hasn't opted out, the do not report list has different repercussions. They could put him on a different list. I don't know. But right now, it's his move. It's his move, which is really frustrating because the CBA was toughened to make this a $50,000 a day, not optional thing for the team. The CBA reads mandatory $50,000 a day fine for not reporting. That is not enough to get Vic Beasley to action. Let that tell you what it will.
It's telling how direct he was on it today, you know? And that he, you know, even in the follow ups, he made it clear, like, I haven't talked to the guy. Yeah. Period.
Well, there's no slack to cut him at this point.
No.
I mean, there's no way he can be friendly about that and right. not be direct. I mean, what praise are you going to give Vic Beasley right now and say that it's okay, you know, guys have their own reasons? I mean, if you haven't heard from him, have no idea what's going on, then what can you say?
If he's not on this team, this pass rush is the same as it was last year plus DeAndre Walker.
Mm-hmm.
DeAndre Walker's a, what, fifth, sixth round pick?
Fourth.
Fourth? Right? A fourth?
Let me double check.
Fourth? At any rate.
No, he was like a sixth round pick.
DeAndre Walker is not a guy you're pinning your pass rush improving hopes on. Yeah. DeAndre Walker's an extra. So they will have, in effect, not addressed the position unless they sign Jadeveon Clowney. There's a lot more money to be had around now because if you have a guy opt out, you get salary cap relief for all of his contract. And if people are getting salary cap relief for all of somebody's contract, Cleveland's going to come back in. Some new teams might emerge if they have a edge guy opt out. Competition's going to be hardy again. The money we thought, the discount we thought the Titans could pull off with Jadeveon Clowney, probably not. So are they going to step up and pay him those dollars now because they're desperate because Vic Beasley didn't show up? Has he forced their hand that way? Is Vic Beasley getting Jadeveon Clowney paid more here? Maybe.
Yes, and they are more desperate because of that. So absolutely. Hutton will split the difference. Fifth round pick. We were right around there. Pick 168, DeAndre Walker.
Fourth round's a good guess because that's the round that Paul predicted that they would draft. Was it third?
Look, if you truly believe that you are an AFC championship game contending team that's a couple, one, two steps away from the Super Bowl with the right additions, then, yeah, you're more desperate for Jadeveon Clowney if Vic Beasley isn't on this roster.
Look, it's easy to say they should have closed the deal with him earlier. He was unwilling to close the deal, obviously. But if they could have got him for 14, if they really put the sell on, yeah, you know, they couldn't get him here for a physical, so that remains to be is a moot point. But the circumstances have gotten worse.
Coming up, we'll unpack our conversation with Ryan Tannehill, our thoughts there from the Titans starting quarterback. We'll also get set for face-off. Preds and Coyotes. That's straight ahead with UC Saros in net. Back-to-back starts for him, making all three as the goaltender for the Predators. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, watching the Preds and Coyotes in the first period just underway. We're about to crank it up here as we sign off at 2 p.m. and get ready for this watch party. Everyone here, good to see Hair Metal Henry back. Looking around the room, Gator Mike is here. Toby and Lindsay have made their way. Will Bowling as well. This is going to be fun.
Hey,
plus some new listeners we didn't have yesterday.
Yeah, no, we'll have to say hello to some people once we sign off here. Not distract them from the game, though.
One very threatening early sequence. I didn't see the second player, but Forsberg with close range chance or chances.
Golden rebound opportunity right in front of the net.
Yeah, they looked very dangerous on that, and they stayed down there for a while. So that was encouraging.
And it's also encouraging that we didn't come back from break like yesterday with the Coyotes on the power play.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
6 seconds in.
They've really cleaned that up.
Yes, they have.
By the way, Hair Metal Henry, Toby, and Gator Mike moving up the ranks of Midday 180 season ticket holders. Back-to-back days in attendance, watching the game with us. Quickly moving up the ranks.
Saros is the starting goaltender for those just joining us. They run it back with him today. That's the right decision. He's played well the last two games. You have a chance to win today, and then in this series on Friday, you run it back with Saros.
You ride her till she bucks you, or you don't ride at all. And they're riding with Saros. Right decision.
Friday game time TBA, correct?
TBA, yes. But I'm looking at the teams involved, and from a TV perspective, I would think they would want Vancouver on later. And because of that in Edmonton, I think Nashville will probably be in the same time slot, if I'm guessing. And they seesaw the games Toronto, Edmonton. So that's why you don't have the late afternoon start, because they're going to Toronto for that game. So, and they get the rink ready for the next teams coming through their bubble.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was at least more early evening than afternoon for the general TV viewer in Nashville to have a 4
Well, to Chad's point, I mean, there are a ton of people working from home.
Oh, there are.
And this has the Olympic feel to it. It really does.
It does.
That's
but
a great
three
analogy.
Three out of three weekend, you know, set aside weekends, presuming that everybody's got some flexibility on the weekends. I'd like some variation.
So what stood out from the Tannehill conversation? I'll start with the first answer just on Arthur Smith and when they clicked. You know, it's interesting because, you know, I felt like in watching a little bit of Tannehill in Miami, and he was fine until he hurt his knee there, but they did not feature a lot of play action within that Dolphins offense. And he gets here, and it just synced up so well last year with this offense and the run game and the O-line. And you can tell that he and Arthur Smith have a great rapport.
And, I mean, piggybacking off of that, Hutt, it was awful. It was an awful offense before he took it over. It had some moments in Atlanta, but and on the in the opener in Cleveland. But that offense was pitiful.
But you come in, but see,
at times,
look at it from his perspective, where he comes in and he knows he can be decisive.
Yes.
He's taking over for an indecisive Marcus
Super.
Mariota, and comes in and from the jump is decisive with what he's going to do with the football within the frame of the offense. On the check with me at the line.
My takeaway is he's a guy with a lot more fire than he puts off in an interview when asked questions. Because there's no way when I ask him, are you angry when people called last season a fluke and that you can't repeat it, that doesn't anger him. And we see that fire on the field. I think he does a good job of putting out a face of indifference
Ice.
To criticism during interviews. But I watch him play, and I see a guy with a lot more fire than that and a lot more motivation to prove a lot of people wrong. And you asked him, Paul, about Miami and how that shaped him of being expected to be the next Dan Marino and then that not happening and then how that can change you. And I see him as a guy when I watch him play that's got that fire.
I do think he's setting a standard that we're going to go back to. And I think he's hit the gist of this before. We are trying to take this thing to a level of detail that we never got to last year. That's a big advance.
Arizona takes a 1-0 lead over Nashville early first period as
Way to
they
go, Chad.
Get going. And that's that first line. They had success yesterday. They dominated Arizona's top line yesterday. And they did it with Yosi and Ellis. And they get a shot through on Saros here early first period. Was it a deflection? Yes. Yes, it was.
And there are two Coyotes in front of the net, one Predator. None of them involved. I don't think the deflection was earlier, right? Further up ice?
No, the deflection happens right at the net with the stick.
Okay. My miss.
Yeah, so 1-0 Arizona to begin. Go back to your point, Paul.
I just think that they, emphasizing that, I like. You know, everybody always talks about attention to detail and seeking, you know, unattainable perfection and all of that. We are trying to take this thing to a level of detail that we never got to last year. I would say Titans at their best look pretty damn detailed. So if they're striving to take it to a level of detail that they've not gotten to yet, that's a hell of a... hell of a goal, quite ambitious. You like the sound of that. Now I'm very curious about seeing it in practice.
Now, yeah, and they are extremely organized as a staff, and they're going through this walkthrough phase of camp. I would imagine the layering is extremely advantageous for this group because they're coming in with a strict plan. It's going to be extremely detailed from the offensive and defensive standpoint, but from an offensive standpoint, they return everybody, and the continuity pays off during this phase. Because, make no mistake about it, if you look around this league and the quarterback movement that, you know, really unprecedented with some of the veterans that made moves this offseason, they're now paired with new offensive coordinators, in some cases, a new head coach. The Titans don't have that. They have to use that to their advantage.
And they're on the field to official, like, start of the next phase, that's rookies and early reporters. So that's the first batch of guys. Not everybody until Monday. So that catch-up is early next week where everybody will be out there together.
Things getting physical between Arizona and Nashville. And Nashville, the Preds had a nice opportunity here after the goal and currently 1-0 Coyotes to begin. because of that, you know, style of play yesterday. I mentioned I want to see more physicality, and I saw that from Nashville, especially against the top line. They can shut down the top line. They're already up 1-0 because of the line for Arizona. Preds are fine.
Well, they're not defending it with the same people, right?
Well, they likely will. I mean,
they don't have the last change, so they're not going to have that choice some of the time.
Yeah, but they can still force the issue with Ellis and Yossi if they want. They were on the ice for 10:32 of the minutes of 5-on-5 play when Taylor Hall was on the ice. They can still try to get that matchup as much as possible today.
And good news with this start, they're playing 5-on-5 hockey. They're not going to the penalty box, but they've had some good chances. They just haven't capitalized yet. Had a few good chances early in this game.
Coming up tomorrow, Coach Mack will lead off the show with us. Looking forward to that. David Poile will join us live from Edmonton at 12:15 tomorrow. That's appointment listening. And we'll also chat with Dr. Bill Schaffner from Vanderbilt University Medical Center. We are signing off as we go and hang with the 180 season ticket holders and Preds fans here to watch Game 3. A huge thank you to Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Morgan and the crew, they have been great hosts over the last 2 days.
Yes, terrific.
And, Chad, you go see that? See Kirby over there? Go tell him we're not leaving.
We're not leaving, Kirby. Kirby's leaving. We're not.
Kirby's leaving.
Kirby
we
will
are
be
not.
Out of here as fast as humanly possible.
We're sticking around for the game. Reed may be joining us as well. Come out to Scoreboard Bar and Grill. Watch the game with us on the outside party deck. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Thanks for being with us for the show. Back at it tomorrow, 10 a.m. right here on The Zone, and back for the 180 at 6 in mere hours.
Don't block the box. That's a plea. Please lock the locks. That's a reminder.